Okay, good morning, Ozark. I'm really glad to be with you. Honestly, it's a privilege to get to share with you this morning. I am not as excited about the topic. I don't know about you. We are introducing a brand new series called Supernatural. Clayton Henson's going to come and he's going to share. Mark Christian's going to come and share. Mark Scott's going to come and share. Angels, demons, miracles, witchcraft. Now, Isaac Shade, I think, is in here. Isaac, where are you? Can you stand up? I do want to put a shout out to him just a little bit. In order to introduce this series on the supernatural, he arranged an entire solar eclipse event yesterday. That's amazing. I'm serious, that's amazing. So I appreciate you doing that. These are difficult topics to talk about, and partly because we never talk about them. And so I am excited we're doing the series. I'm going to give you my best shot around witchcraft, but we need to pray. And we'll jump in and pray and see where this goes. All right, here we go. Father God, we are grateful. We woke up again today and your mercies were new, just as you promised. God, you today again on your throne, power over all. God, again today we have your word that we can stand on and the truth that is in there. And we are thankful that the truth sets us free. God, we are grateful that you have power over everything. And so today we ask that you would help us. God, help me to communicate clearly. Help us to hear from your word. Help us to receive your message. God, help us to be people who are truth tellers. And God, we are asking that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. What I'd like to do today is I'd love to bookend this sermon. We're going to start with scripture. And I'm going to ask three students to come out and join me. They're going to read through quite a bit of scripture, and then we'll do that at the end as well. Please welcome Marshall and Cruz and Deja to the stage.
Moses commanded the people on the eve of their invasion of the promised land, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God."
Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. As for the person who turns to medium and to spiritist to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death.
Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came up and set up camp in Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up a camp in Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He's cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?"
The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instructions and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they shall have no light of dawn.
So I will come to put you on trial. I'll be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's a lot of strong verses. And obviously, you and I, we are not supposed to engage in witchcraft. If you wanted to stop right now the sermon and go, what's the DT? Witchcraft, don't do it, right? I mean, that's pretty clear from Scripture, and I'm not really sure that's why they had me come and share about this particular topic. As I was studying and just reading these verses and wrestling with the issues around this witchcraft and sorcery and mediums, three questions emerged, and they're all why questions. The first one is this: why are people drawn to this? Why do they seek it out? Why do they engage with it? Why do they practice it? The why is important. Robert McQuilkin, he tells us that the why is more important than just about anything, because it really does get to motive and heart, what we're wanting to really wrestle with here. Now, I started going to Haiti in the 90s. Eventually, my wife and I moved there with a few of our kids. We worked with a church plant and did some stuff with a school. And honestly, I don't know if you've ever been to Haiti. Haiti is not Joplin, Missouri. I was not prepared to go there. I was certainly not prepared for the amount of witch doctors and voodoo and just this overt spiritual warfare that played out all the time. People that I knew dearly would visit witch doctors. And so for me personally, it's been quite a journey to try to understand what's going on here and why people seek that out. But it also is a really personal journey. After we left Haiti, there were still multiple years that I've spent down in Haiti working with different groups. In fact, I was just there a couple of weeks ago. Still love that place, love Haitian people. But there was a season when I was working a lot with a medical mission, and in particular at a clinic, and even more specifically in a birthing center. And as crazy as it may sound, working with doctors and getting to help assist with several births at this birthing center. One of the days we got a call, everybody needs to come down and help. There's a woman who's come and it doesn't look good. And they brought this woman in. She was at 9 months pregnant. And by the time she came in, the baby had already died. So we're explaining to her, as hard as this is, you're going to have to deliver this baby. And I remember the doctor looked at her, they're giving her some medicine to get contractions going. And he said, why did you wait so long to come in? And she said, well, my family, actually, we've been visiting a witch doctor. And he had told us to do a lot of different things. And finally, I realized it wasn't maybe going to work, and I decided to come here. And she begins to deliver this full-term baby. Now, in the middle of it, she dies in front of us. and the doctors around me bring her back to life. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And she delivers this baby, and we wrap the baby up, beautiful full-term baby boy. And they look at me and they said, you know the most Haitian Creole, you're gonna have to take this baby out and give it to the father and explain what has happened. And so I carry this baby out and I find the father and there are six other children and this woman's mother. And I explain what's happened here and give the baby to them, and they're crying, I'm crying. It's just sad in every direction. And we go back in, we're praying with the mother, and I'm looking at her, and on her face she has different leaves from different plants that have kind of been pasted onto her forehead, and there's these charm bracelets she has on her wrist that the witch doctor had put on. And I remember that image. In fact, it is something I still think about till to this day. What would cause her to go there and to seek that out? Especially when there were things like a clinic and a birthing center. I wrestle with when people have a need and they go to seek help, who they seek help from. So back to my question, why are they drawn? Why do people engage in this? Why is this something that is not just in countries like Haiti, but it's in other countries around the world, and we deal with it here in the United States and even in the area where we are here in Southwest Missouri. And here's the list. Sometimes people seek this out because of fear. Sometimes it's wanting power. Sometimes it's desperation. That's what it was for this woman that I just shared about. Control, seeking a blessing, seeking to curse someone, looking for special knowledge, maybe wanting to be included in something. It could be the whole society is involved into it. It feels very normal. For some, they've been taught from a young age, this is how you navigate the world. James Sire, in his book, The University Next Door, he talks a lot about worldviews and reality. And in it, he has a list of these seven major prime questions. And if I could sum those up in a couple of statements, man, what is real? And how do I interact with that? How do I deal with that? Because the world's happening all around me, and if I don't know what's really going on, I've got to figure it out myself, or I've got to find somebody who can figure it out. I was in a bus going through a countryside in Vietnam, and we stopped by this field, and there was a guy out there, and he was in the middle of pouring out a drink offering on his field. And next to it, he had lit these incense sticks. And we stopped and talked to us a little bit, and he's like, oh, I've been told by the shaman, this is what I need to do to appease the spirit who controls this land, because if I don't, this spirit will not let my crops grow. If my crops don't grow, my family will starve. Anderson, in his book, Bondage Breaker, he says this, the lure of the occult is almost always on the basis of acquiring knowledge and power. Actually, knowledge is power. To know something before time means that you've tied into some kind of power that can arrange future events. Satan has a limited capacity to do that by manipulating, deceive people. Everything he does, and listen carefully, everything he does is a counterfeit of Christianity. And that's what we're wrestling with. We see this counterfeit growing, even here in the United States, and even in this area. Last week, I went with my daughter. She's a student at PSU, and they were having a lectureship series. And they had invited Rainn Wilson, Dwight Schrute from The Office, to come and speak. And while he did share about the office and other things, he did begin to talk about what he cares about right now, maybe more than anything. And he just wrote a book on it called Soul Boom. He said, regardless of what's playing out in this world and the pandemics we face, whether that's war or COVID or a multitude of problems, the answer is spirituality. But by his definition of spirituality, what he actually means is all these things that could be good, and we're going to put it together, and we'll find good things, and we'll figure out how to live, and we're going to have a spirituality, but it's a counterfeit spirituality. Now, if that is true, and that plays out for people around the world, and it impacts them, my second question is another why question. Why don't we ever talk about this? I mean, maybe you do a lot. I don't know. I've been in church a long time. We really don't talk about it very much. We know things are true, like Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But we forget that sometimes. There's this cosmic conflict playing out, this universal, often unseen spiritual battle. God and Satan, not equal, but in conflict and playing out in the spiritual realm. Two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, and they are at war. And the kingdom of light, that kingdom, man, when you're going that direction, that road goes where that road goes. As Randy Garris, I've heard him say that many times. That road goes where the road goes. And in the kingdom of light, it goes to life and renewal and peace and joy. But that also means that in the kingdom of darkness, this counterfeit kingdom, that road goes to death and destruction and pain and suffering. And so really much of spiritual warfare is about authority between those two rulers of two very different kingdoms. Now, in our spiritual conflicts seminar, the class we offer every semester here, one of my students, Mackenzie, wrote this quote at the end of her major paper. I love what she latched on to here. Authority is the issue in terms of spiritual warfare. Well, that's a quote she's reading from Anderson. When I read this, I realized this was a key principle when it comes to living life in Christ. We are called to shift our allegiance away from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, to wholly submit to the sovereignty of God. When it comes to spiritual battles, power and authority are the things that are at play. If your power and authority is not in Christ or from Christ, then you are fighting for the kingdom of darkness and allowing yourself to be overcome with darkness. The reality is, you and I, we talk about what we know, we talk about what we understand, we talk about what we've experienced, and for many of us, we don't know much about this topic and really the topics of this whole series, so we just don't talk about it. Now, Paul Hebert is a missiologist. He wrote an article, a journal article called The Flaw of the Excluded Middle. And he said, I see this playing out all the time on the mission field, that the church, people, the Christians, even for people who've become Christians, they view us in a kind of a split level way. If you want to talk about heaven, if you want to talk about God, you want to talk about salvation, this stuff up here, come talk to us. Or if you want to talk about things down here, medicine, clinics, schools, let's drill a well, let's pass out mosquito nets, let's give the polio vaccine, come talk to us. We understand that. In the American church, I could add, you want to talk about parenting, you want to talk about raising your kids, come talk to us. But this middle, the spiritual world that plays out. Even people in our church in Haiti who were dealing with this stuff. Up here, come talk to the church. They got answers. Down here, don't talk. Come talk to the church. They got answers. But in the middle, they don't know. And so they continue to seek out people like witch doctors, like mediums, like sorcerers, like witches to help them navigate it. And the crazy part is, you and I, we actually know the answers in the middle. We have answers to give them. We have the truth in Scripture that tells us where the power and authority is. We serve a God of power. Look at all the chapters in Mark, Mark 4, Mark 5, Mark 6. Jesus is rebuking the storm. He has power over all nature, no matter how bad it is. The next chapter, he's casting out a legion of demons. The next chapter, here's a 12-year woman who's been sick for 12 years, and he heals her when no one else can. Here's a little girl who's 12 years old, and she's died, and he brings her back to life. In every way, we serve a God that's full of power. The third why, the final why, and this is the one that I think I want you to really tune into. Why does this matter to me, really? Because my fear about this topic is that a whole bunch of you checked out the minute it started. I don't deal with this, and I don't know about this, and I don't think I'll ever do this, and I'm not going to be a missionary, so I probably will never see it. But here's what I'm seeing all around us, and I think if you will look, you will too. If you're a youth minister, it's people in your youth group. If you're a pastor preaching, guess who sits in your congregation? If you're a worship leader, you do recognize that people worship other things. Maybe you're a part of prayer things, and people are going to come back to you at the end of, at the back of a room and want to ask for prayer, and they're going to share with you what they're dealing with. And they're dealing with a lot. It is showing up more and more in our schools and in our towns and in our churches. And quite honestly, I know even in this room, some of you are like, I've dealt with this more than people could ever imagine. And I want to be very careful with that. In fact, if you need additional help to even process or think through or work through the things that are there, there's people here to help. And we're going to see this more and more in our churches. This quote, new book from Chad Ragsdale and Daniel McCoy called The Disciple's Mind. They state, our enemy will almost certainly attack you in your thoughts, so don't leave your mind unguarded. Be alert and under control. Thinking is spiritual warfare, and neglecting the discipleship of the mind leaves us vulnerable to all sorts of attacks that may come by way of the mind. If we have neglected our thinking, then falsehoods introduced as truth can make themselves at home in our minds. We will find ourselves ill-equipped to resist the foolishness that the world calls wisdom, and unaddressed skepticism will start to rot away at the foundation of our faith. And we will struggle to identify the difference between real and counterfeit. Now, I have a friend who was a teller at a bank, and in her training, they said, we've got to help you figure out how to know what's a counterfeit bill and what's a real bill. And the way they trained her was not giving her counterfeit money. They made her touch real money over and over and over and over again. Now, if I apply that to us, the real money is knowing God, and the real money is Scripture and the truths that you and I live in. We need to understand what's counterfeit, but we do that by knowing truth and who God is. I'm going to ask Deja and Cruz and Marshall to come back out again, and I just want them to remind us of the God we have, and really the answer to anybody that has any question, regardless of what they've done or what they've been involved with or what they're experiencing.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you might take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel.
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name.
So, church, the honest truth is there are people all around us and around this world who are caught up in things like witchcraft. And it's a counterfeit. And you and I have the truth. And we need to be willing to talk about these things. And be willing to minister to those who are caught up in these lies. It's real. We just have to decide if you and I are going to engage in those things too with them. There are people in darkness, and they need to see the light.